Second hour here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren is on vacation. Willie and Chase here with you. Elijah Campbell back at the studios. And we are joined by Teron Davenport. Talking with TD.
TD.
Always great to be able to chat with him. And Teron, I got to tell you, this is really interesting how this has happened since we last chatted here. 1 week ago at this time, the story hadn't even broken yet about Shane Bowen. We had no idea that Shane Bowen was not at the game against the Vikings. And now here we are a week later with all kinds of things going down. It's an ever-changing situation. But to catch people up, if they have just tuned in and they've been working all morning, the Titans did not have any additional positive tests this morning. So that's day one. If they're clear again tomorrow, in theory, they'd be allowed to return and gather and practice on Wednesday. So some good news today, Teron.
Yeah, it's definitely some good news, and you need two consecutive days of no testing, no positive test, that is, to be able to consider getting back in the building. It's not a definite that they'll get back in the building on Wednesday, but pending no positive test tomorrow, they should be in good shape to do that. And the game for Sunday should be in good. We have to use the term should be.
Right, it's all in pencil.
Things could change, yeah. So things can definitely continue to swing towards the positive if there are no more positive tests. We'll put it that way.
Teron, just along the news cycle here, do you have any sense of when the league and the Titans will present the findings of whatever the NFLPA and NFL found in coming to Nashville to look through and go back through tapes and whatever to find out how they got to this point?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's supposed to be at some point today, but just like everything else, it could be tomorrow, it could be, that could change. So I know there are a couple things that I had caught wind of that I'm working to confirm. But at the same time, I'm not sure exactly what ways this team was negligent, if they were. And that's something that this report really has to unearth. And it's kind of misleading with some of the things that are being said, because it's making it seem like there's a definite account of negligence. And I think really what we need to do is allow this to unfold before the finger is just totally pointed at the Titans organization. Again, it's a pandemic, so there's no telling how it could have started. There's no telling how it spread. It's a virus, and it could spread not because of negligence. It could just spread. So there's a lot that they have to unearth and uncover, and we'll see what happens when that report comes out.
I think that's a good point. You can't. There's got to be some margin for human error, because you can be doing things the right way and still have somebody get the virus. Where you could be in trouble is if you weren't doing the things you were supposed to do to control the spread of the virus. And that brings me to Adam Schefter's report. And this was the thing I think that is where the spotlight is going to be, because Adam Schefter reported that Shane Bowen was exposed to individuals who had been exposed to the coronavirus, according to his source, which is unnamed. And that it implies that he did not report that and came to practice. And maybe Chase can fill you in on the Wall Street Journal thing that he referenced in the last hour. But to me, Teron, that's probably where the root of it is, if I had to guess. Now, you tell me what you think there.
Yeah, that is where the root of it is. And it just, okay, how can you prove that he came into contact at a certain point and he later revealed it after? Like, there's so much back and forth. I think it's really difficult. Then the other thing that there are questions about are the symptoms, having the symptoms but not reporting the symptoms. And that's another tough thing, because I know, like me personally, I'm going through, I have allergies, right? So
yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
If you have sniffles or runny nose or itchy eyes and sinus issues, are those symptoms or what? Like, how do you handle that? So there's
I think with the weather turning colder, that's going to become a big thing in the coming weeks, right? Because when the weather turns cold, that's just simply what happens normally.
Right. So that's something else that you have to consider. I guess at the same time, you can never be too careful, right? And you could definitely say, hey, listen, I'm having these issues, but you're getting tested every day. So it's just tough really to put a finger on the symptoms themselves being reported and whether or not that was reported timely. Like that's just, how can you tell that the man had symptoms on Thursday, for example, and didn't report it until Saturday? How can you really tell?
I think that's what we'd all like to know. Now, here's another question that I have based on what happened with the Patriots. Daron, we know that Shane Bowen tested positive on Saturday. They held him back. Everybody else tested negative, and they flew to Minnesota. What is different about that than Cam Newton tests positive? The Patriots have all the rest negative, but they don't fly until today, but the game is still on. We know Kari Blasingame tested positive on Saturday, several days after this all started. Isn't it possible that even though the Patriots have not had any additional positive tests, who's to say that they couldn't have a couple down the road? They seem pretty confident that that's not the case, and the game is on tonight. But I'm a little confused as to what happened there, because no matter what, it's not exactly the same. The protocol somewhere changed, I think. At least that's my interpretation from what happened to the Patriots and what happened to the Titans.
Yeah, without a doubt. And just to add another wrench in the hole or another variable, Jordan Samuel tested positive, and he's the team that the Patriots are playing. He's one of their practice squad quarterbacks. So I think really you have to remember that this happened a week after the initial situation. And I will give the NFL respect for seeing what happened and then adjusting. A lot of people are overlooking the fact that AJ Terrell for the Falcons tested positive, and they still went through and played their game, and neither side have had any positive test that resulted from that. And Terrell didn't play in that game, and he tested positive on Saturday. I think what you saw this week was an adjustment, and that's good. You have to, knowing that this situation is ever evolving, you have to be able to adjust on the fly. It's just like calling a football play where coverages are changing. You have to adjust your route on the fly. And I think what the NFL did was adjust, and the Patriots, they adjusted for the procedure. They didn't fly to Kansas City. As a matter of fact, they took off already today for a game that is today. So I think that was good that they were able to push it back pending, waiting for more negative tests to come back.
Daron Davenport is with us from ESPN, covers the Titans for them. I want to read a text that we got to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, because I want to see how you would answer this. If the Titans are found that they ignored protocols and are clearly at fault, the Steelers game should be deemed a forfeit and the Steelers get their original game back. That would make an example of the Titans, put the season back on track, and discourage all other franchises from skirting the rules. Now, I'm just reading that text. I'm not implying that's exactly what has happened here. But how would you answer that? Do you think that would be the right form of punishment if that's what the league finds?
I don't. I don't think that it would be right to have a forfeit at all. And I think there are other means by which they could punish the Titans if they were negligent. I don't see forfeiting a game. I don't think that's the move to make.
I think what's so difficult in all of this, Taron, is figuring out, okay, was it gross negligence of you think the rules are silly, so you're not going to follow them? Or was it, there are so many protocols you have to follow, mistakes happen, sometimes you forget to pull your mask up or whatever. And that's where the league is in such a tough position, not only with the Titans, but throughout with every team, of trying to get everybody to understand. It just has to become second nature to you to be 6 feet apart, to pull the mask up. And that's where I don't envy them at all. And I feel like that the Titans, you're there every day. You're around this. You go through different protocols. From the reporting that I've heard, it seems like the Titans are doing their best to keep with all of this.
Yeah, without a doubt. And even going back to training camp when we were there for full practices, they were doing the necessary things. Players have their individual towels. Players have individual water bottles. If they drink Gatorade, as soon as they're done with it, it's put in a container. All those procedures are being followed. And then they're maintaining their distance from us, the media, even when we had the three of us, myself, Teresa Walker, and Eric Bachrach in Tier 2, that were able to have closer access to the players and the coaches. We still, it was enforced. Hey, you know, you got to get back. You got to get back. And those are all things that happen. And seeing them throughout the full practice, the masks were on when necessary. And I don't personally recall any gross negligence or even just ignoring the rule to have the mask on. So that is something that I think, you know, has continued into the season. When we were there for individual period and all of that, you know, they continued, the PR team has continued to have us make sure that we have our distance from the players and coaches. And then I see the coaches with the mask on. Now, obviously, they'll pull them down to call a play, but for the most part, the masks are on. So I haven't seen any negligence, but at the same time, I'm not scouring through hours of practice film and everything looking for that. At the same time, it hasn't been obvious. So we'll see what happens from the report.
We're not going to see TD's mask breakdown on a whiteboard Wednesday, are we?
No. No mask breakdown. But I will have something going against the Bills and how they use their receivers, especially in man coverage, because the Titans are in 52% in man coverage, and the Bills have a series of man beaters. So that's coming.
We will be looking for that. So let's talk about this game that, you know, under the premise right now, it's game on. It's going to be played on Sunday. With the players that are currently on the COVID-19 list and assuming that they don't come off before Sunday, I mean, the Titans are going to have some work to do. They have some depth pieces. They have some practice squad pieces. But how do they fill the holes left by these players not being there?
That's going to be really tough because you're taking away the slot machine and Adam Humphries. He's the guy that opens things up for everyone else, whereas he gives them more opportunities because he's a chain mover. So that's going to be something they have to recover from. But most importantly, Jeffrey Simmons, he, for the most part, has been the defensive MVP for them. And not having him out there will be tough. He's a guy that, you know, when you're going against a guy like Josh Allen, you have to collapse the pocket and you have to have that outside pass rush. And they're losing that with Simmons, and then Daquan Jones is off as well. So there's a lot to replace, not to mention the long snapper. That battery right there, the from the long snapper to the holder to Gostkowski, you know, as far as the relay is concerned, that's not something that you ever have to worry about. Could that be something with a new long snapper? Definitely. So there's a lot that they have to get figured out. Christian Fulton is their best nickel corner, and he's out. And now who is going to cover Cole Beasley running those choice routes underneath? And then you have, I mean, there's a lot to be adjusted for, and they are catching a Bills team that is white hot, and it's going to be a tall task for them, and they're just going to have to dial in and be extra focused. And I think really that's the way that they could adjust. They probably won't be able to play man as much, so they're going to have to zone it up, and that could be a good thing for the Titans because the Bills have just feasted on man coverage, especially with Stephon Diggs.
From the receiver standpoint, could Chester Rogers figure into this somehow?
He's probably going to have to be honest with you, because you know you have Cam Batson and Humphries, like we said, and the good thing is Rogers has played before. And, you know, he's a guy that I think could give them help on the outside. I'm not so sure that he's seen extensive time as a slot, you know, but he could definitely factor in. He's going to have to. And one good thing, though, is you basically got a free week of recovery for A.J. Brown, you know, and that same thing will be said for Adoree Jackson. So who knows? If they could get A.J. back, that would definitely help an awful lot.
He can play the slot too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He could play the slot. He doesn't give you the same type of action that an Adam Humphries gives, but still he is an option that you could have in the slot. He could use his big body as opposed to Humphries' quickness, and you match him up against some of the nickel corners. One other thing to be mentioned is Levi Wallace from the Bills, one of their starters. He has an ankle sprain, so you know that could help them as well.
Teron, you just sort of asked the question I think is on everybody's mind, because they've been very tight-lipped with any information. But A.J. Brown, Adoree Jackson, Taylor Lewan, those three guys, it would help a lot if any of the three or all of the three could be out there on Sunday, presuming everything is on. Do you have any sense that this extra week would get them closer to getting out there? Or is there just no information out there?
There's no information, but if anything, rest and not exercising what it is that you injured, you know, not utilizing that is always a good thing for an injury. So, I mean, it is definitely a positive for them. And I know, you know, A.J. Brown has said before that it's a day-to-day improvement for him, and rest obviously will help that. But as far as concrete information, none whatsoever.
Teron, we hit on how good the Bills look. Within the division, we know the Texans have gone to 0-4. The Jags lose again. The Colts, who we all got a chance to see on the local game here, looked awfully good. The defense absolutely shut down the Bears. So with each passing week, the Colts, especially on the defensive end, look like a big-time threat in the division.
Yeah, without a doubt. That defense is tough. And we all said it, right, when they traded for DeForest Buckner, we said it. Wow, that's the three technique that they needed. That defense is going to be very improved. And they've not only improved, they've skyrocketed to one of the best in the NFL. And even losing Malik Hooker, that has actually been a good thing, because Julian Blackman from Utah, that guy right there, he's a football player, and he's come in and you know, he really has been a factor. They are very tough as far as Kenny Moore and Rocky Sin at corner. Linebacker-wise, I mean, obviously, Darius Leonard is one of the best. You got Justin Houston, that's a presence. I mean, at all three levels of the defense, they have playmakers, and there's a reason why they're among the top defenses. And you saw it in the Bears game. They just completely suffocated the Bears, and there was nothing they could do. Even with the magic that Nick Foles typically brings, there was nothing the Bears could do against them.
So, Teron, in conclusion, thank goodness the Titans are sitting at 3-0. You know, you can make the argument that they were fortunate to win all three. I thought they deserved to win all three, but it's great that they have a little ground here to give as they deal with the fallout from all of this over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, but one thing over the next couple of weeks that's going to happen is you have games against the Steelers, the Bills this week. You have the Bears. I believe there's two against the Colts, and the Ravens are in there too. So this upcoming stretch is no joke. It's a murderer's row. And they're going to have to be at peak performance as they go through it, because you can see the tables turn really quickly with what they're about to face back to back to back to back to back.
Totally agree.
You know, so.
And that's why I'm glad they're 3-0 and not 1-2 or even 2-1, you know, because they have some, you know, not going to win all these games, but if they can get through it, the fact that they've got these three games banked is going to be very important down the road, because the AFC looks pretty good. You've got some teams in there that, like the Browns, all of a sudden 3-1. You know, there's it's a pretty deep conference, it looks like.
Yeah, and the Browns are on the schedule too. So
there's a
really tough stretch that they're going to face, and they're just going to have to. I mean, it's the schedule. You got to knock down what's in front of you each week, and that's what they'll look to do. But in addition to that, you know, last week and part of this week, they have another opponent in the coronavirus, and they have to knock that down too.
Teron, great stuff. We'll be covering it throughout the week, and thank you for your insight as always. Tell us about the Talking with TD podcast this week.
Yeah, for sure. We have the show coming up. We'll have Marcel Lewis-Jopp, one of the top Bills reporters. He's my teammate, ESPN NFL Nation, so we'll have him on. And then I was able to connect with a long-term disability lawyer, and I want to just talk some of the legal ramifications regarding what you know has happened with the Titans. I think that's something we should get into. So we'll talk some shop football-wise, and we'll get the legal talk in too.
And I'm looking forward to the play breakdown on Wednesday on Twitter.
Yeah,
I always enjoy
coming.
That. All right. Teron, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, you guys. Take care.
All right. Teron Davenport, he is a must-follow. TDavenport_NFL. So when we come back, we'll get around the league, let you know what's happening. There's some of the normal Monday injury stories coming in, as there always are. Also, Jay Glazer reports that the Patriots have landed in Kansas City. And the tweet reads this way, game on, ... parentheses, holds breath as I say it. And I am curious, will there be any twists between now and kickoff? But right now, no sign of that. Patriots are playing tonight against the Chiefs. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Darren Donick and Chase.